Our Father, we thank you and do praise you as we look back upon 2005. And it just seems a wonder that it is gone, it is past. Our lives truly, like you have said, are faster than the weaver's shuttle, quicker than the post. Lord, like the mist that comes out of our mouths in the middle of winter, it just comes out for a short period of time and then it vanishes. And Lord, we know that even though our lives are short, we as your people have a great hope that through Christ and through the salvation that has been purchased for us by him, purchased with his blood, a salvation procured, an eternal redemption, an eternal inheritance, an eternal life through your Son, we greatly rejoice in the Lord this morning. Thank you for your care for us. Thank you for all of the many things that we could look back upon and count our blessings for this past year and see your mercies over and over again, and we want to give you the praise. We do not want to elevate ourselves. We do not want to give ourselves the credit, but we boast in you, and we give you the credit for every single thing that took place, all of it that worked together for good, for the people of God. We praise you and thank you for your great care for us then, and we look forward to this year where you never change, and your care for us is always the same. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And God, you're thinking upon us even now, and that is something that just humbles us and gives us great hope and praise toward you. So we lift up our souls this morning, and we thank you for this new year, the beginning of it, the first day, being able to spend it in the house of God, and we praise you for that. We ask that it might be a profitable time, that you'd visit us today, that you'd teach us, that you'd help us and encourage us, that we might be strengthened by you, taught by you, led by you, guided, Lord, by your good hand, and that all would bring glory and honor to Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd ask you to, if you would, please turn to the book of Proverbs. And we'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 6 to start. It's not where we'll finish this morning. But I want to speak a little bit about, I've already mentioned it like in a little bit of an introduction and in praying that our times are certainly in the Lord's hands. It is a wonder that we continue to go on, isn't it? It's a wonder that our hearts continue to beat, that we continue to breathe air, that we are able to go forward in life, to be able to make decisions, to be able to do things. And really, it is not by our strength, it is not by our might, but it is because of the goodness of the Lord towards us. Our lives are directed and maintained and held in the very hand of God, in that all things consist by Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us. They're even, that word consists in Colossians chapter 1 has the idea of everything is held together by the Lord. And certainly there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel that is against the Lord. When God purposes to do something, when he desires to do something, it will come to pass. And one of the things, and we probably think on this often, something that the Lord has done is that he has created us and he has called us to be his people, a different people, a holy people, a people who would be after the Lord's heart, a people who would desire to live our days in the light of the Lord, or in the light of his presence, or in the fear of the Lord. We look to the Lord in that we understand that he looks towards us and that he's concerned about us, but also we're accountable to the Lord and we're responsible. And one of the things that we're responsible for, and the Apostle Paul touched on it in the New Testament in his epistle, he says that we are to redeem the time. Time is valuable. We have only so many seconds, so many minutes, hours, days, months, and years upon the face of the earth, and we ought not to be a people that waste time. One of the things that they do at my job, I work for an insurance company and I work in the computer department. And one of the things that we do, our customers are other people in the company who desire to have certain programs or computer utilities changed or fixed or modified to be better or to be more efficient so the folks can be more productive, or to take manual tasks and to automate them and put them on the system. Well, we just we don't have them come to us and say, you know, Dave, we would like, we get all of these checks that come in from insurance agents, and they come in manually, and what we would like to do is to be able to automate that so that they can electronically come in and go right into the accounts, the, you know, get sent batched together to go to the bank. Well, when we have a project like that, there's something that we do. The thing that we don't do is we just don't all just sit down and I just say, okay, team, go for it. I mean, I would have six different people doing six different things and everybody has different ideas on how this is supposed to be done. What we do is we come up with a project plan. We think about, we have forethought, we consider, we get together and kind of brainstorm and think about what would be the best way to do this. Do we have anything like this in the system that already is in place or a piece of it that we can use? This planning that takes place. If you look in Proverbs chapter 8 and all the verses that we are, text that we look at this morning, I'm going to just talk to you a little bit this morning about planning, about is it right to plan? As believers, should we plan or should we do what some people might think to do? Oh, it's all in the Lord's hands and we don't have to worry about it. You know, just shoot from the hip. Do you know what shooting from the hip it means? You have an idea of that? I mean, when they say shooting from the hip, it might be like you take the shotgun and you have holding it down here and you're just aiming, hoping that you're going to hit. Because when somebody shoots a rifle, what do? They hold it up to their eye, right? And they aim. And we live many times in a society, and we live with around people, and their motto is, ready, fire, aim. But that's not the correct order, right? It's ready, aim, fire. But we have a lot of folks, and we might be guilty of it ourselves, is we don't really think about what we're doing. And is it biblical to plan? Is it biblical to have forethought, to consider, to examine what our next steps might be, to think about the impact of the decisions that we make? Do we count the cost? And that's kind of like what we're going to be looking at this morning, because I'd like for us, maybe we look back upon 2005 and say, well, Dave, it didn't go so well in certain areas. One good thing about that is we can consider, my wife reminded me of this this last night, I think it was when I was kind of talking about this, was that the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 to forget those things which are behind. If we have messed up, if we haven't had the greatest of year, if we didn't reach the things that we had set for ourselves as far as goals, I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions because those things don't usually work. I mean, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. If you do that, that's fine. But you know what happens to resolutions? You know, I was talking to one of the guys at work, and he goes to the local gym, and he said that every January, the first week of January, the gym begins to fill up with all these people that got all their 3-month or 1 or annual memberships. And he says, and they're using our equipment, you know, he's like, it's his own. And it's like, they're just crowding up the gym and we can't do what we want to do. And we got to wait for certain pieces of equipment. But he says, but not to fear. He said, all we have to do is wait 4 weeks, starts dropping off after a month, 2 months, three quarters of them drop off. By 3 months, most of them are all gone. Because, you know, they made the resolution to do it, but don't follow through on it. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about consistent, daily, purposing in our hearts to do something as far as to think about, to consider, to have forethought for the future for our lives, what it is that we're about, and to plan. And I believe that the scriptures bear out that it is an okay thing to do. It is a biblical thing to do. It is a spiritual thing to do, to be a person who has forethought and to plan. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. Just consider this. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat or food in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Now, I know that the primary context here is dealing with the sluggard, and the person who is slothful or a sluggard ought to be industrious. And instinctively, like an ant, the ant instinctively considers her ways and looks at the ant. What the ant does is, having no ruler, having no authority, having no supervisor, having no manager, the ant goes out and provides meat for the seasons that it needs. Just like, I mean, we see the squirrels running around. They get busy right before the winter, right? They're packing away whatever it is that they do, those little acorns and all that. They take care of themselves. They're providing. They do that instinctively. We're admonished as created beings, created in the image of God, to look at these animals, insects, animals, to look at them and consider their ways and be wise. It's a wise thing, of course, Proverbs, the book of wisdom. It's a wise thing for us to consider what the animals do, and the animals do prepare. They have no authority, and yet they're industrious. Nobody has to tell them what to do. There's no little ant taskmaster taking his little whip and telling the ants to get going. There's no supervisor with a little stopwatch saying, well, how much food have you put away, little ant? You know, they do it instinctively on their own. And we, who have been created in such a different way, with a soul, with an eternal soul, that is that comes in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, ought to be a people who consider our lives and plan for the future and think about it. Notice there's another one in Proverbs 24. I'll show you this one also. I think it's Proverbs chapter 24. Yes. In verse 27, just this verse alone. Prepare thy work without, Proverbs 24:27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and then afterwards build your house. Now there's forethought there. You get the idea of what it's speaking about? It says that what we ought to do is take care of the necessities first. What is this idea of this work without, making sure it's okay, prepare for it? Notice the word prepare. For your work without, and make it fit or meet for thyself in the field. Anybody have an idea on that one? Yeah, plant your crops. What's more important, to have food to eat or to have a nice house to live in? Of course, we got to do it in the right order. Prioritizing here is brought up. And also, it talks about preparing. It's okay to have this forethought. It's okay to think ahead of time and to consider what we're doing. Also, if you would turn with me to the New Testament now, to one of the more main texts that I wanted to look at, in Luke chapter 15, or Luke chapter 14, I'm sorry, Luke 14. In Luke chapter 14, at the end of the chapter, we read, beginning in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and he was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Now, I know that when the Lord was teaching here, he's talking about the cost of true religion. I mean, that's in order to be his disciple, there's certain conditions. And what he's speaking of here in illustrating is really, though, as we see it in here, is the importance of forethought and preparation is necessary if a person is really going to follow him in discipleship. Notice the words where it says, this person sits down first and counts the cost, is in the text. He talks of this person who deliberately, intentionally does that to see if they have enough resources in the first one to finish the project of the building. And in the other, of a king going to war first, he sits down and considers if his smaller army can beat the bigger army. This is nothing more than forethought, consideration, and in planning. Now, I know it's talking about doing this and counting the cost when you're thinking about being one who would come and follow Christ in discipleship, to take up your cross, but it still involves planning. The Lord doesn't say that we do anything just blindly, running into things, not even thinking about what we're doing. Our mind is to be engaged when it comes to worship, when it comes to service, when it comes to living for the Lord. We're thinking. But the trouble with people today is they're too busy to plan. Do you notice? I thought it was very interesting. It says that the person sits down first. What's the problem with the society in which we live in today is that we're on the go. We're too busy to plan. We're just running forward and we're just going to take care of these. I mean, we got just so many things to do. How can we possibly sit down and think about planning? Our Lord here was teaching his disciples about the folly of not fully calculating our resources before getting involved in any big enterprise. That's the principle that he's using. And of course, the big enterprise is to become one of his learners, disciples. Or in other words, though, he is bringing up the idea here is the folly of poor planning. I mean, not even thinking about what we're doing. We're not even, in this case here, counting the cost. And as I said earlier, we are too on the go. We've got too much to do, and without proper planning, we might look like the proverbial squirrels in the cage who are going nowhere fast. Someone once told me that if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. What does that mean? If we don't plan, we're not going to get anywhere. Somebody, I remember at work many, many years ago, I used to hear this phrase, and they said, plan the work, and then work the plan. That's what they talked about. It is important. It is good. It is right to do this. Someone, as I said earlier, we live in the ready, fire, aim society. No forethought, very little planning, shooting from the hip, and it's dangerous to do that and to think that way or not think that way. Really, we're not thinking that way. There is no forethought when it comes to major decisions in our lives. I mean, think about some major decisions. When it comes to a job, do we as Christians pray about what it is that God would have us to do? I'm convinced, and I only know this by experience, where folks will come after the fact and say, oh, I'm in a big mess. I'm in a big muddle. I left a good job. I left a good location, whatever. And now I'm stuck in this other job. And I didn't realize what was going on there. And I didn't understand that it was unethical or maybe just the atmosphere that was there or the type of business that they're in, the products that the people sell or make. I mean, you're taking and moving yourself from one location to another, and you spend a lot of time on the job. We are to work. We are to be industrious people, but we ought to think about what it is that we're doing before we move as far as jobs. What about a lifelong partner? What about looking and praying about someone that we're going to spend the rest of our lives with? Did we pray about that? Do we consider the relationship in the light of the Lord, as God would have us, as people of God, that we ought to be married in the Lord or married to people who know Christ, not being unequally yoked, but we have, and I've experienced this too, where folks will rush into a relationship without planning, without forethought, without prayer, they'll come to me afterwards and say, Dave, I'm in a real mess. I married an unbeliever, and you would not believe what's going on in my home. It's affecting my prayer time, my relationship. I can't do what I would like to do, and it's just really grieving, and I'm convicted about it. And the question I'll ask is, did you pray about that beforehand? And you know what happened? You know, most of the time folks will say, no, I didn't think about that. I really needed a relationship. I needed to get into that. I was so hungry and desperate to have affection. I did not think about what it was that God would have me to do. And I did not plan. I did not prepare. I didn't pray about it. I didn't ask counsel. And I got myself in a muddle. What about relocating or moving? We've heard of folks that do that. You know, you will have people that will relocate and move because of the children, because of what they want, rather than what's good for the family, the whole family, without leadership from the husband and leadership from the parents. They'll move because of that. They'll move because of a job. They'll move because of, you know, maybe closer to some form of entertainment that they like. Maybe even move because friends or family are going to be closer. But what did they forget about? The most important thing when you think about and planning about relocating and moving, what's the most important thing a Christian could possibly go to the Lord before and ask for? A church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Christ-honoring, spiritually led church. And again, I have witnessed that, and maybe you have too, where folks will move away and you get that call, we can't find a church. And we've relocated, you know, hundreds of miles. We can't find a church. We're unhappy. We're not getting fed. The churches that we go to, well, it's like, you know, well, where was the forethought? Where was the planning? Where was the prayer? Did you pray about that? No, I didn't pray about that. And you know what happens a lot of times is we get caught up in this mentality that I want something. Now, what we want might not be what we need. And we want it so bad that we will get ahead of, and you know, if you don't like this phrase, that's okay. Maybe you can at least understand what I'm saying. You get ahead of the Lord. You're making and forcing the decision yourself. And what happens is people will do this. They'll say, okay, I want to relocate. I've looked in the different states. I like it because of the weather down south. It's a whole lot warmer. I'm not really sure if there's a church there, but, you know, it'll work out. I mean, you know, this is a good thing for me to be able to do. Or this job is a really good thing. It is a promotion. I'm going to be getting more money. And with more money, I'll be able to provide more for my family. You know, we'll just reason it out and justify it and do the thing, make the decision. And then what? Go to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless our decision that we've already made up. The foot is down. We've already said, this is it. It's going to happen. And then we ask the Lord to bless it. And then it falls all to pieces. And folks will go back and blame the Lord for not... What? I mean, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I mean, everything is supposed to go well. You know, blue skies and green grass and red roses are supposed to happen in my life. But the thing is we have not been wise. We have not planned as we ought to. And, I mean, just think about this. Does the Lord plan? Did the Lord plan anything? Did he give forethought in any way, shape, or form to anything? Give me some ideas. Think about it. Give me some ideas. Did he?
Well, he planned all of creation.
Certainly he did. He did. I mean, our God is a God of order. And with forethought, he has, as it says in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, I mean, when you think about the redemption of God's elect by the predeterminate counsel of God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming together to purpose what it would be that they would do so that they would be glorified in the redemption of mankind. They got together and the Father had determined that he would elect a number that no man could number to be his very own special bride. for Christ. And Christ would be the one who would come and be the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. It was determined ahead of time that he would come and die on the cross and be buried and rise again for our justification and for our salvation. And the Holy Spirit would be the one who would come and quicken us and regenerate us and convict us of our sin and bring us to Christ and reveal Jesus to us. And God would grant us the gift of faith and repentance, and we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would be saved. Certainly, God does plan, and it's proper to plan. He planned creation. Think about something that we looked at in our Old Testament studies. What was it other than the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses? Do you remember something that God gave Moses, and Moses was going to have to do something with this instruction that he gave him? Do you remember? They're going to build something. Anybody remember? I heard it. Tabernacle. Somebody said the tabernacle. God gave explicit instructions, the pattern of the tabernacle, the place where God would dwell over his Shekinah glory, over the mercy seat. And it was, I mean, all you have to do is go back in the text, the Old Testament, and read that, and you will see that all the dimensions are there. The width, the height, the depth, the color, just right down to how the bread was going to be made, and even when it came to the other temple, the incense that the priests were to burn. I mean, it was exact. And Moses was to take and make it exactly the way that God had showed it to him and God had revealed to him. It's not just slipshod, put it together. It's not like I do. I mean, I buy something, and I open the box, and it has instructions in it. And I'll look at the instructions, and I take the quick route. The quick reference picture, and it says, do this, 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 and this, and I'll look at that, and I say, piece of cake. And Deb's smiling over there because she knows. And then I'll just attack it with screwdrivers and wrenches and whatever and go after the thing, and then come to find out 3/4 of the way through it that one of the steps way back at the beginning, I've got the panel flipped the other way, and I've got to take the whole thing apart. And it was because of poor planning, for one thing, and not following the plan that was already there. And that happens so many times in our lives. We don't begin properly. We don't go to the basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible, here. We don't go into the Word of God, which is to be the lamp under our feet and the light under our path, but outside of it, I mean, how many times have you been so frustrated when you're trying to do something and then all of a sudden it hits you, I didn't pray about this. And you stop and you pray about it and then God smiles upon you. Because we take it into our own hands. We're not devoting it unto the Lord. We're not looking at our lives in that we ought to be like the psalmist says. I think it's in Psalm 50, around the end of the chapter, Psalm 50, maybe verse 23 or so, where it says, that we ought to be a people, and to him, that scripture says, and to him that orders his conversation aright. Or that's in the old English, King James speaking. It's, and if a person orders their conversation, is your manner of living, your conduct, the way that you behave yourself, the way that you, it's basically just your manner of living. If we order it properly, God will show us his salvation or his way. I mean, the Lord will take care of us. But if we take it upon ourselves, if we like poor old, and I guess I ought not to even say poor old because it was his doing. But if we like Nebuchadnezzar get to the place in our lives where we think, by my might and by my ability, I have this great kingdom. And he lifts up himself in arrogant pride, Nebuchadnezzar did. We see in Daniel chapter 4, because he was one who said that what he had and what he accomplished was by his might, by his ability, and it was basically for his glory, God humbled him. And he ate the grass like an animal. Remember the description there that his skin was like the bird's feathers and his fingers like claws. And he was for 7 years like a beast of the field. Thought like a beast and he became one. He was absolutely insane. You talk about insanity, totally out of, without reason. That's what it says in Daniel chapter 4, that God would give, take away the heart of man and give them a heart of a beast. And really, when you think about it, pride is insanity, because it is totally opposite than the thinking that we ought to have, in that just the opposite of that is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We ought to be a people who don't take the credit for anything, even our very lives, and make sure that we humble ourselves so that God would exalt us. And praise the Lord, God in his gracious mercy did that for Nebuchadnezzar. When his reason returned unto him, he exalted and extolled the great high God, and he worshiped God. What happens in our lives is that we take it upon ourselves, and we think that we can handle our lives. We can think that we can make the decisions. And one of the worst things that we do is we do it without reference to the Lord. We don't go to the Lord first. I believe that with all my heart for us, one of the verses that ought to constantly ring in the life of a believer is Matthew 6:33, where it says that we ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our reference, our focus, our planning, our forethought, our consideration in our lives is, what does this mean in the light of God's kingdom? What does this mean as far as what does God think about my plans? Not my plans, you know, and I'm talking about beforehand, not like I make the plans and then, God, what do you think about it? You bring it to the Lord first and say, Lord, this is the desire of my heart. This is the way that I would want to go. School, job, a partner, relocating, church, ministry, finances, whatever it might be in our lives. This is what I'm desiring to do. You see, the difference is you're not making the decision first. You're not putting your foot down and saying, I'm doing this. God, what do you think about it? Is that you humbly go before the Lord and say, Lord, here is my desire, and bring it before the Lord as a petition. Let God examine it, and then see if through prayer, continued prayer, through the reading of the Word of God and being led of the Spirit into the truth of God, through the inclinations of our hearts, God does give us desires there, through counsel from other people, not going to the pastor or the more mature believer and saying, hey, telling them what you're going to do. That's different. Hey, pastor, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You know, folks think they're coming to the pastor for counsel, or to the elder, or it could be an older brother and sister in Christ, and they go to them and they think they're going for counsel, but what they're really doing is they're going to give them information. I'm telling you what I'm doing. As parents, have any of you ever had that happen with your children? They come to you to inform you of what they're going to do, not thinking that they may be coming asking for permission. And when they tell, and when they do it that way, then later on they say, well, I did come to you and ask you. But basically, no, it's them telling us. And we do and can get caught in the same place when it comes to doing that before the Lord, is going to the Lord and telling the Lord what we want to do, and really not offering up to the Lord and allowing the Lord to dash our plans to pieces, to just gone. No, that's not the way that I would have you to go. You read, and how does that happen? You think that you're making a decision about something, and you're reading the Word of God, and something comes to bear upon you that there's a great conviction that this thing is not the proper thing to do. At my job, they're involved in unethical practices, and they want me to do this. And the Lord says that I am supposed to be a person who exhibits truth throughout my life. I am supposed to be one who has integrity and character and respect for other people. And this is totally opposite than that. It is not the way that I ought to treat my fellow man. And I cannot do that and honor the Lord. And that would not be the right job or the right project to get on or the right way to do business. I'm going to walk the other way and do it in a way that it honors the Lord. Let me show you another passage of Scripture that we should just look at before our time totally runs out. It's in James chapter 4. Some of you probably were thinking about this as I had opened up this study. But in James chapter 4, we read these words at the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. The idea here is merchants, people who have a business. And they're going about, you know, what they're talking about is that they will go someplace and they will set up shop and they will do their business and make a profit. Now, is that wrong? No, that's not wrong. That is an okay thing to do. It's all right to have business. It's okay. And it's okay to plan. But notice where they go wrong. Verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. The idea here is that the planning is not improper. It's their thought, or lack thereof, the forethought, lack thereof, and they're not planning in reference to God. They're doing what they want to do. They're saying, we're going to go here, and we're going to continue there for a year, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to get profit, we're going to do this thing, but you have no idea if you're going to have tomorrow. You're not making this decision in the light of the fact of the brevity of life. This is improper planning. They don't do it with an eye towards God, and they don't do it with an eye towards their frailty. And they're boasting in the fact that we're going to go do this thing, and we're going to set up a shop, we're going to make all this money. But the idea is, you haven't even considered God in this whole picture. You, me, I do this. But where's God in this thing? Where in their plan, where is the Lord? And that's the question for 2006, or really the admonition for us. When it comes to our planning, when it comes to our thinking, when we're going to make a major purchase, when we're going to make a major decision, in that whole decision process, are we going to sit down first? And it's hard to do in a society like ours, which is instant, it's quick, it's drive-through, it's boom, bang, do this, do that. Are we going to sit down and pray about it and consider it and bring it before the Lord? And is God going to be considered first before we make this major decision? My fear is that a lot of times this does not happen, and that's why people get in the mess that they get into. And I have gotten in the mess myself too in the past by first not considering what is it that the Lord would have me to do here. Sometimes for me, it's not in the big things because I really pray about those, but sometimes it's just the little things. Things that we might think are insignificant, but these little insignificant things can compile together or come together, and it can mean a big thing. Or a little decision can open up the door for a big impact or a big consequence, and therefore everything should be brought before the Lord. And I believe like we ought to do the opposite of what these men did here. They didn't consider the frailty of their life. They didn't make it. They made their plans without any sense of the uncertainty of life, and they made their plans without reference to God, because God is not mentioned here. You ought to say, he said, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. But now you rejoice in your boastings or in your arrogance, and all such rejoicing is evil. They were bragging in the fact that they were self-confident. Their plan is going to make it. It wasn't like the proverb says, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's either in the Proverbs or the Psalms. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But it says that we are to commit our ways unto the Lord. We are to commit our ways or our life unto the Lord first. That's the most important thing. Our plans are not important. Our life is important. Our soul's relationship to God is important. Our steps are important. Our way before the Lord, that is what's important. Our plan isn't. Do you know that sometimes, and this is way an aside, I just need to throw that in, this in. Sometimes the Lord directs us, and he's directing us in a way to make a decision that is going to test our hearts. It's kind of like Abraham with Isaac. God telling him to sacrifice Isaac. And we know that from the text, it was that God knew his heart after that. And sometimes when it comes to our plans, when it comes to our lives, the Lord may direct us in a way, and it seems like we're going in a way where this is a very big sacrifice, and it's, and I don't know if I can do this, and it really goes against the grain. We really don't want to do this thing. Maybe it is that we must enter into a ministry or sacrifice in some way. And Deb and I can share this with you, that sometimes we've come to the place where we've completely resigned to the fact that, yes, Lord, that's what we will do. We just, through reading, through prayer, being led by God, that is the thing that we will do it. Lord, yes, not our will, but your will be done. And you know what after the fact happens? The Lord doesn't require it of us. And I believe at times it's just our hearts. Does he have us? And that's the whole idea. Are we fully committed and devoted and sanctified unto the Lord, so that no matter what we desire to do, no matter what happens in our future, the most important thing is that we are seeking first the kingdom of God. Is our heart right with the Lord? Is everything good between us and our God? That's more important than did we get our plan in order, and is everything checked off exactly the way that we thought it ought to go? The plan isn't as important as our ways. But in that verse, it says, commit your ways unto the Lord, your life, your relationship to God, the way that you conduct yourself, your behavior. Commit your way unto the Lord. And it says, your plans, basically is what it means, will be established. They'll come to pass. Psalm 37:5. Thank you for the reference, those are taking notes. It's the way that we ought to do, but many times we do it, and society in which we live in does it totally backwards. We're so focused on the plan. Now, another thing too, I'm not saying don't plan, don't have a day timer, don't have a list. It's important to have a list. Prioritize it. Think about it. Consider it. But let me close with these thoughts here. I just kind of summarized some of the things that I had talked about, and I did this just yesterday. If we don't plan, we are not wise. Because I believe the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, we see planning. And I got to give you a couple examples that I wrote down. I thought these were just very interesting, if I can find them. As you can tell, I'm just kind of flipping around on my pages this morning. But the Lord Jesus, even if you consider even in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus plan, consider this. He chose exactly 70 disciples, sent them two by two into the villages, that he would soon visit. So they went ahead of time preparing the way for his group to come. He sent the disciples ahead to make plans for what? Remember? The Last Supper, the Passover, right? At his crucifixion, he looks at the Apostle John and he says to him, behold your mother, his mother, Mary. He says, behold your mother. He's planning, and even upon his death, to take care of Mary, that she'll be well taken care of after he departs from this earth. I mean, over and over again, we think of creation. We think of all the different things that God did as far as orchestrating life in the ways of Israel. Certainly, there are plans. There was forethought there. But if we don't plan, we're not wise. Secondly, with no plan and shooting from the hip, we're hoping to be productive, but many times we'll look busy, but we're not accomplishing much. We'll be like the squirrel in the cage. Lots of activity, but no moving forward. And think about this, too. No plan is already a plan, right? If we don't plan, we've already planned not to plan, not to think ahead, not to be wise, not to consider the ant, not to think about with forethought what it is that we're doing and counting the cost. And what we're going to end up doing with no plan, we are going to possibly waste time. We're possibly not going to be focused upon priorities, and we're going to be spending too much time on things that are unimportant, and possibly fail, and with heartbreak, and not bring glory to the Lord. If we don't plan or strategize or prioritize, we are not imitating our God, who is a God of order and a God who does plan, and this does not glorify him. And I believe that it is important for us to stop and to think and to pray, to consult with God first, not later, not after the fact. It's okay to keep a list, a journal, a record of what it is that you want to do. Prioritize those things. Keep looking back upon them, but constantly go before the Lord and lay it out before him. And then get your direction, peace, the liberty to be able to do what you want to do as you pray and read and as God directs. And just commit your way unto the Lord so that your plans, so the things that you want to do are established. Any questions or comments? Any thoughts about this? Maybe practical things, Fred. Right.
It takes discipline, it takes willpower to plan ahead. And that's no different in Christian life.
That's right. And isn't it more important when it comes to our very lives? I mean, when it comes to our ministry, when it comes to living before the Lord and our desire. I mean, at the end of your life, would you not want to be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I've finished, kept the faith, I've finished my race, I've kept the course, you know, to do that. And be able to say I've done everything that God wanted me to do. Well, and to do that, do you think when he did his missionary journeys, he planned where he was going to go? Was there, I mean, you think about some of those. He goes right back over the same places to confirm the saints, to raise up elders. There's a thought in there, a planning in all of that, and it's right, and it's biblical, and I believe it's spiritual to plan, and we ought to really think about that for 2006. Just want to leave it with you in some way, shape, or form to go to the Lord first and to lay it all out before him and to think about what you're doing. And like Fred said, even when it comes to, I remember when I signed my name on the line to go into the military in Springfield, Massachusetts, 1976, when I wrote my name on that line, I knew that that meant 4 years of my life. I was writing that and I said, 4 years. This isn't just signing the check for $5 to pay some little bill. 4 years of my life. When Deb and I have signed on the dotted line for a mortgage for a house, and maybe you've done the same thing, I've committed myself to paying this amount of money off, or a car loan, to pay this off and to do it. And you count the cost, and you're thinking ahead of time, and it's not just slipshod, because I don't believe that that is honoring to the Lord. And of course, what we want to do is we want to bring honor and glory to our great God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Lord, we look at the word of God and we see how there are instances in here where we see the principle of planning and how proper it is. And I pray that we would be a people of forethought. I pray that we would be a people who would sit down and just consider our ways and consider bringing it first before you so that you would examine to see what we are thinking is proper, and then that we may have, as it were, the stamp of your approval to be able to go forward and do it for the glory of Christ. We pray that you would help us this year to be profitable and good servants of the Most High God, and that we would bring glory and honor to Christ in everything, Lord, and even as we commit our ways, we would look to you, and our hope would be that our thoughts, that our plans would be established. In Jesus' name,